Course on breathing. The four necessary conditions to practice spiritual breathing. In the Orient as well as in the Occident, a great importance is attributed to breathing in spiritual development. For example, the expression breath of the spirit can often be found in Western religious texts. The Swedish mystic Swedenborg, who was a science teacher in a university and who taught in several universities in Europe, entered a phase of mysticism around the age of 50. He claimed that he could travel in the other world and have conversations with the angels. He attributed these phenomena to a particular way of breathing that he was practicing. He did not hide it, he described it. We shall simply precise what he found, as I believe he hadn't understood all the necessary elements to produce spiritual breathing. He consequently did not receive any secret or esoteric teaching on the subject to correspond with the invisible world. Like children who find phosphenic mixing by themselves or acouphenic mixing by themselves, Swedenborg had found instinctively spiritual breathing. It is not necessary to seek masters or gurus to receive a so-called initiation. You can find that path yourself by following your instinct. In India, everyone knows that yogis practice a lot of breathing exercises, and until postures, asanas became the most practiced exercise, breathing was at the basis of the training of the yogis. The main problem is that there were mistakes in the translations and interpretation of these exercises for the following reason. The old texts are based on instincts. They are consequently not precise, as was thinking before the scientific era. Moreover, the transmission of ideas from the East to the West has mainly been the work of writers. They introduced a kind of Western type of thinking by adding extra elements to these exercises. But these very extra elements were introduced too hastily and distorted the true meaning of Oriental breathing exercises. If we base ourselves on what phosphenism has revealed about the way that leads to the spiritual world, by basing ourselves on the laws of analogy, we are going to understand how these breathing exercises should be practiced. This will give a new value to imprecise Eastern traditions that are actually very different from the so-called breathing yoga exercises that are practiced today in the West. As I was studying the effects of breathing on the phosphenes, a lady, professor of German in the High School of Quimper, France, had translated an old German text dating back to the 1700s. This text was itself a translation of an old Chinese text. She came to find me with this text. I do not have the pretension to teach something truly new, but to present and illustrate what is truly active in these techniques for the goal of producing spiritual breathing. This old Chinese text mentioned a circular type of breathing to achieve a spiritual goal. This lady did not know anything about my works at that moment. She had practiced this way of breathing, and she had felt within herself extremely powerful sways. She talked about it to persons around her, as she was very surprised by this sensation of sway, and those persons who had read my book The Initiation of Pietro sent her to meet me. She told me what the Chinese text meant by circular breathing. This type of breathing that we are going to study stimulates the rhythmophosphenic system when other modes of breathing do not produce the same effect. This is why this rhythm of breathing can trigger the sensations of sway, which are connected to the rhythmophosphenic system. Only a certain way to practice stimulates this rhythmophosphenic system. This is what we are going to analyze. What did the expression circular breathing mean? It consists in projecting on the brain a rhythm that is as close as possible to the sine wave. Why? You remember that this wave composes all the universe as, however complicated, a vibration. It is made of intertwined sine waves, and everything in the universe can be considered as an aspect of this periodic phenomenon. You can check the lesson on rhythmic thinking for more information. Consequently, we should endeavor to generate this sine wave rhythm within the brain by projecting the rhythm of breathing on the brain. This leads us to consider the four conditions to practice spiritual breathing. The first two conditions favor spiritual breathing. The last two conditions are absolutely essential. If they are not met, no spiritual breathing is possible. The first condition is that the rhythm of breathing should be projected on the brain as much as possible. How can this projection take place? To produce spiritual breathing, the rhythm that you induce to your breathing should be as close as possible to the sine wave. The first condition, that is not essential but that favors spiritual breathing, is that breathing is as deep and full as possible. Deep is not the best term to describe this, as this type of breathing needs also to be done by the top of the lung. So all the parts of the lung should be stimulated during breathing. Let us describe briefly how to practice full breathing. It is usually very well explained in schools of yoga and in various books, so I am not going to spend too much time explaining this. The right way to breathe in is by advancing the sternum and the abdomen so that the diaphragm is lowered. The air enters behind the sternum and above the diaphragm. This is a proper way to breathe in. The right way to breathe out is by lowering the sternum and hollowing the belly so that the diaphragm goes up. The air above it is pushed, as well as the air behind the sternum. By practicing breathing in and out this way, you will truly get air in and out of your lungs. The wrong way to breathe in is to dilate the ribs at a maximum and hollow the belly. What happens? When the belly is hollowed, the sternum goes up. If at that moment the sternum has moved forwards, the air goes behind the sternum and rotates. So there is no real entry of air in the whole of the lungs. This type of breathing is often practiced during sports by raising your arms up and dilating your chest, but hollowing your belly. That is a wrong way to proceed. The wrong way to breathe out is by lowering the sternum and advancing the abdomen so that the air that is behind the sternum just moves above the diaphragm and rotates there. It is important to learn how to fill the lungs this way. This is the starting point. Breathing in yoga is always silent, as it should be relaxed, but it all depends on the anatomy of your nose. Some persons will make more noise than others, but you should endeavor to make as less noise as possible. Full breathing is the first condition. It favors spiritual breathing, but is not essential for producing it. Next comes the question of the order of filling the lungs. There are three parts in the lungs, the lower, the middle, and the top part. Should they be filled with air simultaneously? Should the top part be filled first, then the middle part, and finally the lower part? Should breathing out be done in an opposite order or in the same order? Well, the study of the alternation of the double phosphenes can give us certain precisions. I have observed that only breathing with the top of the lungs has an action on the alternation of the double phosphenes. Abdominal breathing does not have any action. I do not know for sure the reason why, but I know that only breathing with the top of the lungs regulates the alternation of the double phosphenes. Consequently, it is good to insist on this particular breathing. You should start by breathing with the top of the lungs, then with the middle part, and finally fill the lower part. This is very similar to the Zoroastrian tradition transmitted by Dr. Hanisch in the Mazdazan movement, according to which breathing for a spiritual goal should start with the top of the lungs. I advise to start with this breathing with the top of the lungs. Those who are used to it find it extremely easy and have no problem performing it. Nevertheless, when a bottle or a vase is filled with water, the water falls first in the bottom, then rises up, and when it's emptied, it happens in the opposite way. If you experience too much difficulties with breathing with the top of the lungs in the beginning, you can choose a different order and start with the lower part of the lungs until you manage to breathe with the top of the lungs first. The second condition favors spiritual breathing, but is not essential to produce it. We have seen that the whole universe is composed of intertwined sine waves. So, the more our breathing will have a rhythm close to the circle, the more it will project on the brain this circular rhythm that will stimulate the corpus callosum, the seat of the connections between the two cerebral hemispheres. Certain children practice spontaneously this circular breathing as many times as you feel necessary. For example, you can start with triangular breathing and then move on to square breathing, circular breathing, and finish with superficial breathing, associating a thought, the breathing equivalent of phosphenic mixing. To produce spiritual breathing, simply performing physical breathing does not develop anything. You remember that doing simply a phosphine does not develop anything. You need to mix a thought with a phosphine to produce a reaction. Again, simply practicing breathing with a slight lack of air or fasting on its own does not develop anything. You need to associate a thought to this slight lack of air to produce spiritual breathing. This is the second essential condition. You could, for instance, visualize currents of energy flowing in through your nose or through your heart chakra into your lungs during the phase of breathing in, then during the phase of retention, you can visualize vortices of energy whirling in the top of your lungs. Then during phases of breathing out, you can visualize currents of energy leaving your body again through the nose or the heart chakra, but also potentially through your hands or the top of your skull. Then during the phase of holding your lungs empty, you can visualize this current of energy rotating around you or around the phosphine or within the phosphine. There are many possible variations, and I invite you to experiment with them so that you can find the most pleasant way to practice. During circular breathing, you can imagine currents of energy rising in a circle behind you from your perineum to the top of your head and then going down in front of you from the top of your head to the perineum. And of course, match this rhythm with the rhythm of breathing. During superficial breathing, you can imagine a current of energy entering between your eyes while you breathe in and exiting through the same spot while you breathe out. Sometimes this current of energy naturally reverses itself, and you will find yourself imagining that the energy goes in while you breathe out and goes out while you breathe in. This is a natural process, and you should go along with it. This way, you associate rhythmic thinking in the shape of visual images of currents of energy with rhythmic breathing performed with a slight lack of air, thereby stimulating the equivalent of the phosphine for breathing, the pneumophene.